I'm going to look at the book of John today and just kind of talk about a oneness that Jesus is talking about. There's a lot of times that when we look at the book of John and chapter 17 specifically, and I'm not saying that this is wrong. This is certainly a part of it. There's a lot of times you look at the word and we get so focused on just, you know, part of what that word means. We get so focused on that we miss some of the other things that are a part of that very word and the very promise that's there, some of the deeper things. I mentioned this a couple days ago, but you know, one of the things I was taught early on is, and I certainly have this habit, if you look at my Bibles, any Bible I have, you're going to see a lot of notes written in the margins. You're going to see a lot of papers stuffed in there. And you know, the longer you have a Bible, the more you actually have things written in the margins or underlines or things like that, notes that are there associated with specific verses. And one of the things that I was taught, and it was a real struggle to do it the first time, because you know, that very first Bible that I had that I put a lot of notes in, I really relied upon that Bible because I knew, you know, you get a mental picture of exactly where certain verses are, and you know that you have something written down to explain or key points to spur your memory on things that you learned about those specific verses. And that's all good. But what I was taught was, you know, after a certain number of years, set that Bible aside or give it to somebody else. Get yourself a new Bible, a Bible that has no notes in it, nothing you've written in there before. Because what we tend to do is we rely upon those things, and then we miss some of the deeper things. Because we look at every verse that has notes there, we look at it, and we always refer back to those notes that we had. So we never take that verse deeper than we went to that day that we wrote those notes in our Bible. Every time we look at that verse, we see just that truth, which is great. It's great to have that truth, but the goodness of God is that the Word of God is living and active. There's always something more, something deeper, something relevant for your life today. It's a great mistake. If I try to live on yesterday's revelation, that's a great mistake. It's good that I have that revelation because those revelations form the foundations that I can continue to build upon as I understand, as the Holy Spirit reveals more of His truth to me. Got to have that as the foundation. But I can't just stay right there at the foundation. I can't live on yesterday's revelation. Yesterday's revelation was for me when I read it and when I had it yesterday. God's got something new for me today. So we need to look at the Word always with new eyes, with a fresh heart, you know, with a fresh anticipation of something new and not getting locked into the same things. So having said that, let me read these verses to you from John chapter 17. Starting at verse number 20, this is as Jesus is praying for the church. He says, "Neither for these alone do I pray. It's not just for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all of those who will ever come to believe in and trust, cling on and rely on me through their word and teaching, that they may all be one, just as you, Father," I'm going to read this from the King James Version, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, and that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." You know, we read those verses, and a lot of times we look at it and we leave it just with this. That when we love each other, when we as the body of believers love each other, that the world sees, that there's greatness in our love for one another and that the world sees Christ because of our love for one another. That certainly is a part of it. But let's read that again and listen to what Jesus is really saying because there's something more here than just, you know, us loving each other, which is good. We have to. Certainly, you know, Ephesians makes that very clear. It's important that we love one another, that there is unity within the body of believers. Unquestionably, that's important. But we also have to look beyond that, look deeper and see what Christ is saying here. Let me read those same verses to you from the Amplified Bible. "So neither for these alone do I pray this." And what he just got done is praying for the disciples. And so he's saying, hey, listen, I'm praying this for these men who are here right now. For these 11 men who are here that are going to stand with me. I am praying this for them. And for all the other disciples that were there as well. Because it wasn't just the 12 disciples. There was disciples beyond. We know that. It's made clear in the verses, you know, if nothing else, look at Luke 24. Talking about the disciples. One of them was named Cleopas. There was a number of disciples who were not part of the 12. Jesus had his three innermost circle. Then he had the 12. And then there was other disciples that were followers as well. And so this prayer was for all of those. But Jesus is saying, hey, I'm saying this prayer, God, for beyond those people right here, right now with me. And it's for everyone who will come, every future generation who comes in my name. So neither for these alone do I pray. It's not for their sake only that I make this request. So these prayers that we're seeing in John 16 and John 17 are not just for those men and those women there at that moment. Jesus is saying, this is a prayer for all who would trust in me, all who would trust in my name. So neither for these do I make that request, but also for the sake of those who will come to believe, trust in me, through their word and through teaching. So this is for you and I. These are all promises for you and I as well. Verse number 21 says that they all may be one. So there's that unity, that oneness. But what kind of oneness? That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. So Jesus is saying, here's the importance of the oneness. Yes, it is us being one in the body. But you know what? Unfortunately, this is where we oftentimes, we look at things and we look at things only from the physical instead of seeing the spiritual. Both are realities, and we need to focus on both. And you know, the greatest is always going to be the spiritual. So for us to be one together, that's important. It's important for us to be one together in Christ. But Jesus is talking about something else here. That they may also be one. How? How are we supposed to be one? Just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. Jesus is saying, Father, you are in me and I am in you. There's a oneness that is there. That they also may be one in us. It's great to be talking about unity. Unity in the body of Christ is important. But you know what? It's the unity that comes in Christ. It can't just be that we're unified, that we're together, and we try to get along, we try to be one. We have to be one in Christ, one in Him, in the same way that He was one with the Father. That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. In the same way that when Jesus Christ was flesh, when He was walking as God in the flesh here on the earth, God the Father was in Him. And this is what Jesus is saying. And this is the marvel of the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. And when the Bible talks about that we have the boldness to come before the throne of grace, we come right before the Father. In the spiritual realm, this is who we are. This is how we need to see ourselves. Jesus is saying, in the flesh, when I was here walking, this is Jesus speaking, as Jesus is walking on this earth in the same flesh that you and I have, and yet the Father is in Him. And what Jesus is saying is, in the same way that you are in me, as I walk here on this earth and in this flesh, in the same way that you are in me and I am in you, this is what Christ is saying His desire is for us. That they also, that means us, that means you, may be one in us. How many times do we walk through our lives and we feel like we're totally alone? We feel isolated. We go by our feelings. We are spirit, soul, and body. In the same way that there's that triune Godhead, we're triune in nature also. We are spirit, soul, and body. It's hard for us to really think about that because we only relate really to the soul and to the body. You know, we can understand our body. If I run a marathon, my body's going to hurt. I can certainly understand my body. You know, if I have a cold, I understand my body. I can relate to that. You know, the senses that I have perceive those things. Then I have my soul, which is my will, my personality, my intellect. It's who I am. You know, that's everlasting. I understand that because I know my thoughts. I know the things that I think. But I also have a spirit. And when I became saved, when you became saved, the spirit was regenerated, was made new. This is the new creation. This is the new creature. And sometimes we go by the feelings, and sometimes I feel alone. I mean, all of us have felt that way. We feel alone, like we feel isolated. We feel like we walk by ourselves because we go by feelings. Feelings are the things that come from the emotional side. It comes from the soul. The soul is what usually dictates, but it should not. The soul is what usually dictates. Before I'm saved, what is it that guides me? It's my soul. It's my will and my intellect. It drives the triune nature of who I am. When I became born again and my spirit is made alive, then this is what Jesus is talking about. He dwells in you and I in the same way that when Jesus was here in the flesh, the Father dwelt within him. Jesus is in and with you all the time. I don't feel that way, Todd. I don't always feel that way. Well, no, that's your feelings. You know, you're not going to be able with your feelings. Your body and your soul will not perceive the things of the spiritual. You can only perceive the things of the spiritual by the Spirit. The flesh can never understand or perceive the things of the Spirit. It can only be through your spirit, the spirit that's in you. You can perceive those things. But if you just go by your feelings will always leave you confused. Your feelings will always leave you discouraged and feeling like, God, where are you? God, I'm alone in this. This is Jesus guaranteeing and assuring that you're never alone in the same way that when he was walking on this earth in the flesh. He walked on the earth, God in him, and he in God. Why did he do this? And why did he say this? Everything that Jesus did when he was here on this earth, he did as a representation of us. He did in representation of us. Even his sacrifice was as a representative of us and our sin. That you also, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. You know, the unity that he's talking about that's going to change the world is when we realize that Christ is in us in the same way that the Father was in Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth. That Christ himself dwells within us. You know, it's a revelation that's sometimes hard for us to make, but when we make that revelation, when we make that connection, my goodness, it is liberating beyond what you could possibly imagine to know. The promise is, I walk with you all the time. I am with you all the time. How can I be defeated? How can I be overcome by the circumstances of life when I know that the Creator himself is in me, dwelling in me? I may not feel that, but that's the way it is. You know, it's hard for us to really understand the triune nature of who we are, spirit, soul, and body. It's hard for us to comprehend that. Truly, because we live in this flesh, and because we have the soul, which we understand those things, it's hard for us to understand the things of the Spirit because it's harder for us to be in contact with that. It's easy to be in contact with this world. You wake up in the morning and open up your eyes, you're in contact with the world. We can understand the things of this natural world. We've lived in this natural world. And yet the greater reality, this is reality, but the greater reality is the spiritual reality. And we dwell in the spiritual realm on a daily basis because our spirits are made alive, redeemed when we come to know Jesus Christ. You know, when it talks about us having access to the heavenlies, having access to the throne, being seated with Christ, that's not just imagery, it's reality. Whoa. How can that be? I'm here walking on this earth. How can I be seated with Christ? It's hard for us to understand, but you know what? In the spiritual realm, that is truth. You know, when you read the Bible, there's a lot of different verses that show us or demonstrate to us realities, give us a vision of things, realities in the spiritual realm, and things that are real in the spiritual realm and where we dwell in the spiritual realm. Some of those realities it talks about, you know, us having a crown, you know, and it says, you know, the Bible has that image of us with the crown. In other words, it's saying that who we are in Christ. Sometimes there's imagery that talks about the shield that's all around us, that surrounds us. You know, it talks about the key that's on us. There's lots of imagery. It actually says you are seated. Ephesians chapter 2 says you are seated with Christ. It doesn't say somewhere in the future. It's saying right now. There is a spiritual realm, and that spiritual realm is a greater reality than this physical reality that we live in. And it's hard for us to perceive that. And yet that is truth. How can I be at two places at one time? That's hard to understand. How can I be here and also be in the spiritual realm? How can I be here and also be seated with Christ? That doesn't make any sense to us because we're thinking only in the natural, only what we can perceive with our physical senses. How can I be at two places at once? You know, we live our lives two places at once. We do. You know, our brain, you know, we all know, we always talk about the right lane, right brain, left brain, the two hemispheres of the brain. And, you know, women are usually on one side, men are on the other. You have your logical side, and then you have the other hemisphere. I forget which is which, but you have the one hemisphere, which is the logical side, and you have the other hemisphere, which is the intuitive side. Now, logic would tell us you can only be at one place at one time. So you're either going to be in the logical hemisphere or you're going to be in the intuitive hemisphere. It's two different places. It's two different parts of your brain. Two separate hemispheres. Our Earth has four hemispheres. Can you be at four hemispheres? Can you be in two hemispheres at the same time? No, you're either in one hemisphere or the other. This is how we understand life. Well, your brain has two hemispheres, and yet you can be in both of those at once. You're never just always in the logical hemisphere or always just in the intuitive. We dwell in both at the same time. So when you think of it that way, we can understand being at two places at one time. You know, the amazing thing is, even physics itself, as science itself, grapples with understanding how things in the natural work. Even science, quantum mechanics says that there's a certain percentage of reality that an atom can be at two places at the exact same time. That's truth. Science understands that. We can be at two places at one time. We live that way with our intuitive and our logical brains. Well, to the same token, we also live here in the physical, but also in the spiritual. And this is what Jesus is trying to show us. This is the unity that we have. And when we live that way, we understand that yes, I dwell here. I'm an ambassador. I'm a citizen of heaven. But I live and I'm an ambassador. I dwell here on earth. But my citizenship is always in the kingdom. It's always in the spiritual kingdom. That's my citizenship. That's where I am. And that's where we dwell every day. And if you can see yourself dwelling in those spiritual realms and in those places of victory, seated with Christ at the right hand, if you can see yourself there, it is reality. See yourself there, and it changes your outlook for the things in this natural realm, because the things in this natural realm will succumb. We'll be subjugated by the things of the spiritual realm if we believe it in faith. Jesus is saying that they may be one, just as you and I, Father, are one, that they may be one in us. I've given to them the glory and the honor which you have given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus is saying he's done all the things that he has done, that you may be one with the Father through him. Just as he is one with the Father, so are you. That's an amazing revelation, if you can grab hold of that today.